Ooga truck. Ooga, ooga.
Hi, Jeff.
Hello.
Well, so...
Look at that. The microphone's all perfect, really.
These are nice little shockers. I don't know whether they'll do anything to the sound.
Nice little shockers?
Shock absorbers. So this was originally going to be Saturday, but 4 hours before we were about to have the show, I get a text.
Yeah, I forgot to tell Greg that I went camping. I almost forgot to notify him. And if I didn't remember then, it was quite possible that you might have showed up here and there would be nobody here.
It was absolutely within the realm of possibility.
So, sorry I didn't let you know earlier.
It's okay.
I was intending on letting you know like a day before, mm-hmm. you know, on Friday, but got away from me, so.
So... you don't have to film me an entire trip, but how was it? Did you?
It was good. It was real good.
Camping stuff?
Yeah, we did camping stuff. We went to a place called Chapman State Park. It's all the way up in the northern part of the state, south of Warren.
You should go to Cherry State.
There's nothing to do there but sleep all day and look at the stars, where Chapman had a lot of other things to do. Chapman, or Cherry Hill, right, mm-hmm. is... I looked at it, and it's a state park, but it's not boating and biking and camping.
No, it's up on a mountain.
So there's... I'm not sure exactly how far away we were from there. Probably still another hour or so. We went camping, and...
I've only been there in the dark of night, so I don't really know.
Yeah, we did some geocaching, ran into canoe, went canoeing, went swimming at the beach a couple times, so it's kind of things that we did. It was a lot of fun.
Awesome.
Went to Southern Tier Brewing Company because we were going shopping because we'd forgotten some things, dish soap, things like that. And I knew that there was a local brewery, like an East End style one where you can taste beers and get growlers, mm-hmm. right? That's it. It was called Kanzua Dam Beer Company. It was like 5 miles away. And I pull out the Find Craft Beer app to get directions for it, to get its address. And second on the list, 24 miles away, was Southern Tier Brewing Company. I'm like, well, shit. They've been on my to-do list for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And then being, you know, it was 24 miles direct line, but 34 on the road in about 50-minute drive. I'm like, I got to go there, you know. So it was pretty cool. We got up there. They have a nice outdoor, it's called the Empty Pint. It's kind of their little, so they had a tasting room, and it's in New York. So I'm pretty sure you could buy pints there before with no food, but very limited hours, right? Mm-hmm. They really didn't want people hanging out there. But now they have the Empty Pint, which is a little restaurant, big patio, yard-type thing, picnic tables. They had a stage, a band, and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool. It was interesting how it worked, right? Because there was no table service, right? You ordered your food from the hostess, like what was set up as the hostess station. And you ordered your beer from the bar, so you would have like two different tabs open, right? A food tab and a beer tab. The food was probably contracted out by a different company or something like that, right? It was an interesting setup. And I'm not complaining or anything. It was quite cool. So they had mocha on tap and a beer called Steve, which was a Belgian farmhouse. They had, I think, everything else. Oh, they had a Hefeweizen that was a pub-only thing. But
I was going to a... gathering, get together, Saturday, and I thought I was only going to be there for 4 hours, but you sent me the text. But they actually invited me the same time I got the text from you. Oh, okay. So I was like, well, I can only be there for 3 hours or so, and I'll go. And then,
my schedule just opened up. Well, that works. I'm glad you. I'm glad you hadn't turned down something. That's the reason I was sorry for letting.
Yeah,
you know.
It turned out, to work. To our mutual advantage. So
that's cool.
This weekend, or actually, it was last Tuesday. I got a traffic ticket. I think I yelled about this on Twitter, and I think I may have sent a message to you about it. It didn't bug me so much getting the traffic ticket. It was for me not obeying a particular sign and making a turn where I was not able to make a turn. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like the cop was hiding. I knew the cop was there. I was exhausted at the end of the day. I wasn't paying attention. Mm-hmm. And, when the cop pulled me over, I was like, he said, "Do you know why I pulled you over?" I have no idea. I literally had no idea. And he said, "Did you see the don't make a left turn sign there?" I was like, "Oh, you're right. I did. There is that, isn't there?" So he goes. So he goes back. He gives me the ticket, and he's nice enough to. He's not nice enough to make it just a warning, which would have been nice. But he is nice enough to say, "Look, I'm just going to give you a not a moving violation, just a like a parking violation thing, so you won't get it. So you won't get points on your license. It's just a fine."
Right.
So great. You know, I mean, being respectful to a cop definitely helps. Mm-hmm. Having a clean car helps. All that kind of stuff.
Right.
That is, you know, this is just a citizen. He's doing the right thing. Right. Doesn't have a record. So that so they gave me this ticket, and the fine for the ticket, the fine for the offense is $25, but the total of the ticket comes out to $127 because there's like eight different things they add on to it. And I'm not even bugged that it's $127. Because I understand, in order to maintain a police force, you have to have them do this dumb shit, and you have to have them be available, because then you don't get a situation where, you know, where's a cop when you need one? Well, there are cops now when you need one, but you have to pay them. Mm-hmm. That money has to come from somewhere. I get it. It's just having it be in that five separate things, that hits a nerve in me.
Oh, it does. We talked about this a little bit. I don't think there's enough bandwidth on Twitter to really discuss it, but there was a Freakonomics recently where they were talking about different, I don't remember the right words, but different pricing schemes and stuff like that. And they're talking about like the first restaurant, like where the restaurants came from, and talking about that kind of thing. And sorry, I don't want to sidetrack this too far. I'll get back on topic real quick. But it was the one about why do restaurants give away free food, right? Why do they give away chips and salsa? Why do they give away bread? You know, those kinds of things. That was the question. And they went through a whole podcast about the history of restaurants and things about that. And the part that's relevant to your thing is that people get a sour taste. It bugs them when they feel like they're being nickeled and dimed for every little thing, right? Mm-hmm. So if there was an a la carte charge for the bread, an a la carte charge for this, people would have a lower opinion of the restaurant than if there was a flat, you know, prefix price, right? And this is the same kind of thing with the traffic ticket, where if they just showed you a prefix price of $127, you wouldn't be really that pissed,
no,
right?
No, I wouldn't be that pissed. I'm not that pissed in the first place, but I wouldn't have felt that tingle in the back of my head. That's not cool.
Yeah. But, you know, you get $80 for the cat fund and all that.
Yeah. So, and I think that to bring it along to restaurants and to other things like supermarkets, I think I'd be fine if they just increase the price of things instead of having to add a tax on later. So you get everything, and then they put the tax on, and then you're like, I mean, even though it's at most like $10-15 more if you're spending a huge amount of money. If you're just thinking,
it would almost be good to have a.
Just increase the price of everything and show me the tax.
But that's it. I mean, like, have the tax included, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I was going to say, like, imagine if they legislated that, right, where all the prices that are published have to include the tax or something like that. I don't know. I mean, that's a lot of work, a lot of law for...
Well, let's face it. Taxing sales tax is a tax on the poor. Absolutely.
Okay.
Sales tax takes a much larger percentage of the poor's money than it does the rich's money.
Right.
It's a tax on the poor.
Okay. Well, all right.
Okay. I mean, there's no way around it.
Yeah, but I mean, it would be... Yeah, I think, you know, everyone's so used to the tax that they don't really get the tingle, they don't get that feeling. But, you know, the times you do see the places... where tax is included in the price that's published on the menu, like a food truck or something like that, right? It's kind of refreshing.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I don't have to figure out the extra 7%
I don't have to reach into my pocket and find the nickels and dimes to pay this or get these ridiculous nickels and dimes that we still have in our currency. There's no reason to have pennies and nickels and probably dimes in our currency.
Right.
We've inflated far past that to this point, so it's really quite silly.
Yeah, you get rid of pennies and nickels and dimes, though, and that means everyone's going to pick the, you know, the price is going to go up by 25 cents
Big whoop. It means you have to deal.
Here's some super shiny.
Less aggravating. Have to deal with change. And you have to print make shiny pennies every year. They're just a waste of money.
Those are shiny pennies.
They are. So, more of me arguing.
I just have a question. Did we talk about the guys who collect the copper pennies?
It's come up.
Okay.
Because there are pennies before like 54, I think, or something like
82,
where it's all copper. And while technically you cannot melt them down because it's illegal, they're hoping that when pennies are removed from circulation, it will become legal, and then they can just sell the copper because copper is more and more expensive. And
so
most of them are basically, these are now zinc.
People have a hobby where they'll take $100, go to the bank, get $100 in pennies, and while they're watching TV, they'll sort the pennies and they'll keep the copper ones. They'll take the zinc pennies back to the bank, trade them in for more pennies, and these guys have hundreds or thousands of dollars of pennies squirreled away. Because, when they scrap them, they'd be worth more than the currency value. But you can't do that until they're no longer currency. So I think my uncle was doing this, even though I'm not sure they found he probably has like jars of pennies buried in the backyard of his old house. But he had a gram scale, and he'd weigh the pennies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he would do something. Well, I knew he would weigh looking for copper pennies. I never knew what his motivation was until I heard the story about these guys who were collecting them for the future.
I suppose you could be less than legal about it and simply melt them down and just hope no one notices. If you keep your selling low enough, then it's probably going to go below the
radar. You'd have to find a way to scrap bulk copper that has other reasonable alibi, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know anyone who's going to melt down copper wire or copper pipe and do a ingot before they scrap it, right? So, and it's probably not worth your time to cast pennies into wire or pipe.
If your friend is a metal shop,
Sorry to interrupt you there. I was just going to put on the list we hadn't talked about pennies.
So it was really weird because you get Twitter notifications now when you're added to lists and stuff like that. I got added to somebody's list of impressive atheists. And at first I was like, wow, that's neat. And then I looked and they have an atheist list that's almost 3,000 members. Atheists without ideas, that's 3,008 members. Engaging atheist, 2,800 members. Impressive atheist, 2,400 members, and I'm on that list. So inspiring atheist, 2,200 members. I don't know what...
It's a follow thing, right? It's
interesting, like, atheist. I don't know if there's I don't know if there's a,
because you get so notified when people follow you now.
Yeah,
it actually feeds upon the spammers and the robots following thousands of people to get a percentage of those reciprocal follows back, right?
Possibly.
I wish the mobile app was more selective in what actually dings your phone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care when three of my followers retweet the same thing.
I don't need my
phone to go ding when three people follow somebody or retweet the same thing.
Yeah. They need to change. They need to give you the option to, I'd like to be ding if somebody retweets what I tweeted or responds to my
tweet. But no, you get dings on your phone. Like, Greg, Joe, and Frank all retweeted Steve's tweet.
I understand why they're doing that. They're trying to build momentum for you to look at Twitter.
Yeah.
And keep it going. But yeah, that's not the way we use it.
Yeah. But they're gonna, drive you to turn off the notification sound if they give you
my phone is almost always on vibrate anyway, so I don't really get this. I get a buzz, but sometimes I don't even see it. But it got me thinking about a post, because I had just recently jumped onto. I don't do this often. I do it every month or so. I go to the Reddit debate an atheist and debate a Christian forum. I don't just do it for. Sometimes it's fun, sometimes it gets you angry, sometimes whatever, sometimes you're just in the mood for it. Sometimes you go through, you look at them, you're like, these people already responded way better than I would have, and I'm not going to. Sometimes you just get angry and do a little dumb thing, and sometimes you think you have a point.
Mm-hmm. I read your argument today.
Yeah, I just recently said, I thought I had a point. So I wanted to express it. So what'd you think?
I liked a lot of it. Mm-hmm. I think he could have done a much better job in the part about life and organized systems and things like that. I think you didn't really hit the nail on the head when you were using your interpretation of life. But
that wasn't my argument anyway. I wanted to clarify what I meant by life and then jump into my argument.
Yeah, so I think that was a little weak, trying to the thing about life. But other than that...
Okay, so yeah,
I think the big point about how we're, you know, how we've talked about the exact same thing on the show, right? How we're social creatures, mm-hmm. and there's an advantage to behaving well in a society.
Yeah.
And that's not a fear of getting spanked by God or daddy. You know, that's just the way we've evolved. So
exactly. I mean, we
I did see one of the other, I saw one of the other follow-up question things like, you know, are you saying that's the way you would behave if you didn't believe, if you lost your faith, you know, that kind of thing. I wonder if there's something.
Well, let me explain to people.
You hear that so much. You know, you almost every born again Christian type person I've talked to mm-hmm. feels that if it wasn't for God, people would be evil sons of mm-hmm. a bitches.
And they even say that they would be if they didn't have the fear of God in them. And I think it's just it's substitution there. It's not the fear of God that's causing them to be good people. It's the fear of rejection from society that's causing them to be good people. They're substituting God in for that. But yeah, I think the fear of being rejected from society is a legitimate fear. Mm-hmm. So, you know, because we can't survive outside of society. We are social creatures. We have to be in a social, some sort of social environment in order to survive. And that's just the way it is, because that's how we evolved. That's our niche. And like I said in the post, we're not spiders. Spiders can live in anarchy. Spiders can live by themselves, occasionally interact with one of their species, do a little mating, run off, just live in a world of anarchy.
Right.
That's their niche. They've evolved very well to that niche. We evolved very well to a social system. We can't just go off and be spiders. Does not work.
Might want to survive. Might want to, you know, substitute thrive for survive, right? I mean, you could. I mean, it's hard. It'd be really hard life to survive.
No, I would say that it is conceivable that people on the outskirts of the population, right? People who are not who are on the well sigma, you know, well past one or two standard deviations from the norm, could survive outside of a social system. They would not be able to really have any sort of interaction with social society. And if they were to maybe form a tiny group that would then, you know, it would then become its own society. And if it did not within a couple generations integrate back into society, which would be exactly what I would expect it would happen, then they would, and it just kept splitting and splitting and splitting. Then it would get so far removed from, I mean, almost very quickly, you would deviate from humanity. You would be something different. You would not be human. You'd lose some of the prefrontal cortex. There'd be a lot of different things going on. It would be a speciation event if that were to happen.
That yeah, could be.
So I don't think that any human can live away from a society for I think a single human could probably do it. I don't think that any large amount of, or certainly a breeding population of humans couldn't do it.
But then they become their own society.
Then they just become their own society, and at that point,
you're not,
the argument's still there.
Right.
The exact same argument applies.
Right.
I'm not saying that people can't leave the bigger society and make a smaller society. That's certainly within the realms, but we have to have a society around this.
I wonder if
The argument ultimately was the guy was saying, I just want to point this out. The argument was saying, why aren't you atheists just hedonists? Mm-hmm. And the argument was, the obvious argument is, well, because there's no reason to be. But he's saying, well, shouldn't you just want care about nothing and want to fucking do drugs and stuff? And I was like, well, sometimes and sometimes not. And you realize that if you do that, you're not going to live very long. Mm-hmm. So go for it. You're not going to live very long. the society cannot sustain somebody being purely hedonistic.
Yeah.
Individuals being, well, it can sustain somebody. It can't sustain a, you know, any large mass of individuals being purely hedonistic. This won't work.
You're absolutely right.
Okay, what else is there? Oh, okay, my sci-fi novel idea. It's sort of a premise, really.
Okay.
So I was thinking about, it's not a premise that I agree with either. It's just, I was thinking, you know, all right, this is the premise. What would happen if this were the case? How might this play out?
Okay.
It's based on the idea, like the Stephen Hawking idea, that by sending out radio and stuff like that, we're being a beacon that might bring in aliens to conquer us.
Right.
Right. So I thought about, you know, first I dismissed it, like always. And then I thought about, well, it certainly does seem, I mean, they just recently had a study that those two Earth-like planets they thought were nearby don't exist. Statistical anomalies in the data.
Oh.
Yeah. It certainly does seem that planets that are like Earth, we haven't found one yet. We found a lot of planets. We've not found planets that have conditions like Earth. It's within the realm of possibility that planets like Earth are a relatively rare phenomena. Right? There's also the possibility that if there is some sort of space-faring race, it's still very big and it's still hard to find things. And an indicator of where to go and get resources, if these planets are somehow useful, would be, hey, look, these things are, this has intelligent life. We know intelligent life can only really come about on very few types of circumstances. Mm-hmm. This is a valid target. So I said, you know, what would happen if there was a kind of alien invasion on that level? And I thought about it. And I said, well, it would probably be almost completely automated. There would not be aliens coming. They'd send their machines over to conquer us and take our resources. I also thought, well, if I were being in any way reasonable about it, then it would be a beacon that would take 5,000-6,000 years for them to ever see, if anything, because it's very unlikely they'll be close to us. So, but I can't assume I know what society 5,000 years from now. I can't assume what society 30 years from now is going to be like. So right. If I start trying to write something like that or assume what size is going to be like that, I'll be off the mark. So I have to make the assumption of some kind of FTL in order to tell a story. So I thought, well, if I was going to think about some vaguely rational sounding FTL, I would think it would be a discharge of a hell of a lot of energy that would cause massive destruction in its wake just to get here. So I pictured the idea of all of a sudden, almost like something akin to a close-up gamma ray burst right near Earth. Wham! And the light passes at speed of light, but it just probably burns away the ozone layer almost completely. And I thought of the idea of some sort of framework that is then destroyed. And most of it goes away, but some of it just falls directly on Earth and boom, causes major damage in areas because the aliens don't care. To us, to them, we're ants. We're ants on an anthill on this little thing. They don't give a shit about us. They're there to take certain resources. We just happen to be there. We're in the way, but for the most part, there is nothing we can do. So the thing is that then I had the idea, okay, so it looks like a sort of, to bring it to something realistic or something that we could get our heads around, I pictured a sort of armada of like vessels of some sort. But most of them don't come to Earth. Most of them go to the moon and start setting up there. Some of them start to surround the Earth pretty high up, probably at, you know, 35,000 miles, you know, in orbital fashion. They just sit there, probably for years, just scanning or doing whatever the hell they're doing. They don't respond to us. We send things up. If something gets close to us, it probably gets shot down or something. But mm-hmm. If they're in space, they're radiation hardened, they're You know, they're hardened against all types of things, so sending a nuke isn't going to do shit. It's space. It's not like the atmosphere. Nukes just burst into a burst of energy and radiation, and these things should be hardened enough against that. Eventually, they would send down a whole bunch of probes that would just sort of start to sort of float by and just kind of float around. If something gets near it, they'd move away, and then they'd come back, and they would not attack things. They would just sit there and just scan and just do scanning. And then eventually, after some period of time, after all types of trying to communicate with them, my interesting other idea was, what if what they really wanted was the desert areas? What if they were just interested in those desert and tundra areas? Wouldn't that be kind of an interesting kind of twist? So I thought, you know, all of a sudden these ships just come down and just start to wipe away everything in the desert. Just like the energy field goes, wipes away everything. Las Vegas, zap! You know, everything in the desert just zapped. They just sit there and start whatever they do. And for whatever reason, I don't know how it ends. I don't have the story, just have a premise. But my idea was that it wouldn't end good for humanity. It wouldn't end in a happy way. That's why I think it had to be a novel, a sci-fi novel, and not a movie. But if anything, that there could be some kind of idea that humanity and any intelligent life is heralds for something else to come along and take what's there.
Yeah, I mean, I see. I mean, like, think it's almost like colonialism, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of thing.
You know, I'm taking that idea. Because Stephen Hawking thinks it's, you know, it's we are likely to be colonialized. I don't think that's silly rationally, because I don't think that there's... I don't think you can apply human behavior to the universe at large.
Well, that's it. I mean, we don't have any other samples of behavior, right? The counter argument is that look over the last 150 years, how much less violent mankind has become as they've evolved technologically, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the arguments could be that technological races become less and less violent.
Well, I'm not interested in argument. I'm interested in taking a premise and telling a story out of it.
Right.
I mean, yeah, you could argue against whether my premise is true. I don't even believe it. I'm just saying, sure. What if this premise happened? What could there be some sort of reasonable expectation of happening? I was just sort of thinking through the possibilities and thought, yeah, that would be kind of a cool premise to expand upon.
I'm not sure people will like a book that humankind gets wiped out without ever, like, able, not even landing one punch.
People love post-apocalyptic literature.
But not without the heroes landing a single punch.
That's why I'm saying it won't be a movie. I'm not expecting to be a bestseller. I'm saying this could mm-hmm. be a cool premise for something cool to read.
Right.
Could just be a short story or something. I'm not saying it has to be a novel. I mean, I'm just saying that there's something kind of neat about the premise and about imagining that sort of situation. You know, is Will Smith's not going to come up with a bomb? The aliens aren't coming down and getting ready to do a full on assault of Earth. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be like that. They send their machines to do it, because why would they go?
Won't be long before we send our machines to do other
stuff. We already are. So, yeah.
We haven't sent a full robotic army into war yet, but it's a matter of time.
We're sending drones right now. Mm-hmm. If we had reason to fight a war on the moon, I'm sure we'd figure out ways to get drone rockets and shit like that.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get on and drink some beer?
Let's do it.